This is The Guardian.
Today, Donald Trump is about to make history as the first former president to go on criminal trial.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
On Monday morning in Manhattan, hundreds of people will begin filing into a courtroom to be asked questions about their former president. Had they ever volunteered for Donald Trump, for example? Would the way they feel about him prejudice the criminal case against him? And 12 of them will be selected to help decide his fate.
It is a seminal moment in American history like no other. You know, we've had Nixon and the Watergate scandal, but Nixon never went to trial. He never faced criminal charges. Trump being physically in the courtroom, having to face criminal and legal accountability for his actions, is a very important moment, to show that, not everyone is above the law.
What the jury will consider is this. In the lead up to the 2016 election, did Donald Trump deliberately cover up payments of hundreds of thousands of dollars to stop damaging stories about him and an adult film actor being made public? Stories he denies, but which could, if they'd come to light, have harmed his chances of becoming president. This time around, as he faces the first of four criminal trials, he's likely to use his days in court as a campaign opportunity.
When Trump does go to trial, he is probably going to hold several press conferences after the big days. He owns a building nearby, 40 Wall Street, where he has used as impromptu press conference venues. It's very Trumpian. It's got American flags across one wall. It's very gold and marble. There is no way that Trump is going to let this trial go and him not get his moment in the limelight.
From The Guardian, I'm Hannah Moore. Today in Focus, the first criminal case against Donald Trump. Hugo Lowell, you're a reporter based in Washington for The Guardian, and you cover Donald Trump and the Justice Department. It's its own distinct beat because there's so much to say. What is this trial that starts on Monday actually about?
So the New York criminal case, which is going to trial April 15, it's one of four criminal cases that Trump is facing at the moment as he heads into the election. And the New York case is really about Trump's attempts to conspire to corrupt the 2016 presidential election and then lying in New York business records to cover it up. And at the center of the trial is going to be Trump's alleged efforts to conceal hush money payments made to Stormy Daniels, an adult film star who is alleged to have an affair with Trump, and Trump paid money to cover up those negative headlines in the run-up to the 2016 election because he thought they would be damaging.
People will remember the name Stormy Daniels, but they might not quite remember her involvement with Trump. Can you just talk us through that?
Stormy Daniels is this adult film star. Her name is actually Stephanie Clifford, but she goes by Stormy Daniels. And she had an affair, allegedly, with Trump.
When you emerge from the bathroom, he's down to his wife fronts and socks. Is that right?
Yes. Yes.
It still makes you laugh?
I have to applaud his confidence.
Daniels has said publicly that she and Trump had sex once and that later she felt pressured to sign a non-disclosure agreement about the entire affair. And in the run-up to the 2016 election, Trump basically had Michael Cohen, his fixer, pay hush money to Daniels so that she wouldn't go to the press because he effectively worried that that allegation, right after the Access Hollywood, the infamous Access Hollywood tape came out where he was bragging about grabbing women by the genitals, would come out and tank his presidential bid.
So this case is going to involve the payment to Stormy Daniels, but it goes far beyond her, doesn't it? Can you just explain that?
Yeah, the criminal case in New York at its core is about how Trump recorded the hush money payments to Stormy Daniels. If he had recorded to Stormy Daniels, you know, payment for an affair or payment to cover up an affair, he might not be in the position he is in right now. The problem that landed Trump in hot water was he recorded the payments as legal expenses. And the reasoning behind that goes, well, he was paying his lawyer and fixer, Michael Cohen, money to then wire to Stormy Daniels. The DA in New York, the district attorney Alvin Bragg, has said that was a lie. It had nothing to do with legal expenses. It was money being rerouted to cover up an affair that would be damaging in the presidential race. And so that violated the New York criminal code.
And how much money are we talking?
So Trump's hush money case is being recorded as a $420,000 case with 34 felony charges. And I'll break down how we get to $420,000. In essence, there is the $130,000 that got paid to Stormy Daniels. There's then a $50,000 payment billed to a tech company that helped Trump's online poll ratings. There's a $60,000 bonus for Michael Cohen for arranging the hush money scheme. And then there was an additional $180,000 that Trump gave to Cohen as an additional bonus, allegedly so that Cohen wouldn't have to pay tax on the original $130,000. It was like the compensation to make Cohen whole.
What's Trump's response to these charges been?
Trump's response has been the most predictable of everyone. He has said it's a witch hunt, it's a partisan effort by Democrats to get him before the election.
This is all about election interference. This is all Biden-run things, meaning Biden and his thugs, because I don't know if he knows he's alive. And it's a shame. It's a shame what's happening to our country. This is election interference. They are doing things that have never been done in this country before. It does happen a lot in third world countries, banana republics.
I think the one area that Trump has managed to hit on that has drawn him sympathy is, as much as it's being billed as an election interference case, it doesn't strike you on its face as an election interference case when compared to things like, you know, the federal January 6th indictment against Trump. Trump has been able to tap into a certain level of sympathy, I think, in the country when they look at the case and they go, well, this isn't really an election interference case.
Right. It is a little bit complicated, isn't it? Because people will be thinking, well, hasn't there already been a case involving Stormy Daniels and Trump and these payments?
Stormy Daniels has come up over and over again, and Michael Cohen has come up over and over again, because during Trump's term in office, Congress opened an investigation. Michael Cohen testified before House Investigative Committees. And then Michael Cohen himself got charged criminally by the U.S. Attorney's Office in the Southern District of New York on an 8-count criminal indictment for criminal tax evasion and campaign finance violations, which he served time for. And then on top of that, Stormy Daniels' own lawyer, Michael Avenatti, got charged for theft, effectively. And so we've had all these characters go through all sorts of machinations with the exception of Trump. Mm. And Trump is now finally having his day in court.
And why is his day in court finally happening now?
It took a long while for the case to come about. At first, the federal prosecutors in the U.S. Attorney's Office, off the back of the Michael Cohen indictment, had a look at the case, and they decided there wasn't charges to bring at a federal level. It then went to the Manhattan District Attorney's Office because they were doing their own separate and independent investigation. and the case was finally brought.
Under New York state law, it is a felony to falsify business records with intent to defraud and an intent to conceal another crime. That is exactly what this case is about. These are felony crimes in New York state, no matter who you are.
New York prosecutors thought there was a crime they could charge, and falsifying business records is something that the Manhattan District Attorney's Office regularly charges businesses with. Their prosecutors thought they could make a case that this could be tied back to campaign finance violations in this novel way, which was to say, well, Trump was effectively saving himself from bad headlines before the election, and that was illegal.
So, Hugo, what's going to happen in court on Monday, day one?
Day one, Trump will be there with his legal team. And really, we will just go through jury selection for a few days. It may take a week, it may take 2 weeks. There will be a pool of jurors. They will be asked various questions, including, you know, which news organizations they rely on for news, what their political beliefs are, what they think about the case. And, you know, most importantly, will they be able to independently assess the facts and merits of the evidence and come to a decision at the end, independent of any biases.
Which is easier said than done, because you're talking here about a very divisive former president. What kinds of questions might they be asked to elicit their views on him and this case?
It will range from things like, are you a registered Democrat? Are you a registered Republican? Do you support Donald Trump? Do you not support Donald Trump? What news organizations do you get your information from? Is it the New York Post, which is typically Republican-leaning, or is it the New York Times, or is it MSNBC, which is Democratic-leaning? At the end of the process, the idea is to seat a jury that will be impartial.
Has Trump raised concerns about the possible selection of jurors?
From day one, Trump is the master of raising complaints. He has not been particularly successful in this case. Trump does seem to be raising more and more desperate motions in trying to delay the start of the trial or not to have a trial at all.
Breaking news tonight, Donald Trump's first criminal trial is still on track to start 1 week from today after a New York appeals court judge just rejected his new motion for a delay.
In the last week, he has raised a motion to change venue. He wants it out of New York because he thinks New Yorkers are biased against him. It was pretty swiftly denied, that motion, so that is not happening. He has also brought motions to have the judge recused because he found that the judge's daughter worked for this company called Authentic, which is a political messaging firm that typically works with Democrats. And he has argued that the judge's daughter's work means she is more inclined to want Trump to face trial with her father. There's been no indication of that whatsoever, or that she might have some sort of monetary benefit. And on that basis, they've tried to have the judge recused. That has also failed. But again, it has not stopped Trump from trying.
So once the jury's been selected and the trial begins properly, who's expected to be giving evidence?
From the DA side, they are expected to call a bunch of people who are very close to Trump. And I think this is why the case is strong. People like Madeleine Westerhout. She was the director of Oval Office operations during the Trump presidency. People like Michael Cohen. Stormy Daniels may testify. Hope Hicks, Trump's communications director in the early part of the presidency, may testify. And they're basically using all of these people who are really close to Trump and who had direct access to him, were part of his inner circle, effectively, to testify against him because they make the best sort of witnesses. You know, Michael Cohen is going to be an interesting one because Michael Cohen is a convicted felon and he lied previously to federal prosecutors and he lied to Congress. And so the Trump lawyers throughout this trial will almost certainly attempt to impeach his credibility. That argument may or may not fly. It's going to be interesting to see how the jury reacts to that.
So what impression will the prosecution be trying to give of him by calling those witnesses?
So the hush money payments to Stormy Daniels was part of a pattern. according to the district attorney's office. It was part of this alleged catch and kill scheme orchestrated by Trump with Michael Cohen. And the DA effectively wants to say Trump's alleged catch and kill scheme was widespread. He used it with Stormy Daniels, but he also used it with a former Playboy model, Karen McDougal. He also allegedly used it with a doorman in one of his buildings to cover up his silence about a separate affair and what was kind of referred to in the tabloids as a love child, although the strength of that story has been pretty undermined. But the DA wants to use all of that as part of evidence. The DA also wants to use the Access Hollywood tape, at least in audio form.
You know, I'm automatically attracted to beautiful. I just start kissing them. It's like a magnet. You just kiss. I don't even wait. And when you're a star, they let you do it. You can do anything.
Whatever you want.
Grab them by the pussy. I can do anything.
And that will be, again, a very interesting moment because the Access Hollywood tape, it came shortly before the Stormy Daniels hush money payments.
So they're trying to build a picture that at this point in time, he was allegedly repeatedly making payments to cover up things that he'd done that he didn't want to be made public.
Right. And the timing is really important, right? You know, Trump boasted about committing sexual assaults on the Access Hollywood tape on October 27, 2016, which was 12 days before the election. If between that moment and the election, the Stormy Daniels story emerged, it could have been catastrophic for his campaign. And I think that's the story that the DA is going to want to tell at trial. They're going to say, look, this was a really perilous moment for Trump and his candidacy. And he really needed to make sure there was not going to be another damaging sexually charged headline that could tank his bid for the presidency. And in doing so, he was implicitly affecting the election. And because he won, he succeeded, and that counts as election interference.
Is Trump likely to give testimony?
I think Trump is unlikely to take the stand. I think that would be very dangerous for him. You know, Trump has a habit of making statements that come to bite him later. We saw that in the New York AG case most recently, the civil fraud case, which he lost.
Trump sure looked ready for a fight as he glared at the camera. He clashed with Judge Arthur Engoron from the moment he took the stand, giving long speeches instead of yes and no answers. This is a very, very unfair trial. Very, Trump complained. Control your client, the judge told Trump's attorneys. If you can't, I will.
You know, he does like to make his own case against prosecutors. You know, this has always been a defining feature of Trump. We have reported across multiple investigations that Trump always thinks he can go in to interviews or depositions and beat investigators and prosecutors at their own game. You know, he always thinks, oh, if I go in and explain it, they will all understand that there's nothing to see here. The problem is, you know, with federal prosecutors and with the district attorney's office or at trial, this is not a strategy that is particularly conducive. And more often than not, Trump says things that later incriminate him.
What could be the outcome of this trial for Trump? Could he actually end up in jail?
It's difficult to say. It kind of depends on, you know, if he's just convicted on the falsifying business records and they can't tie it to the election, then it'll just be a misdemeanor. It'll be a slap on the wrist. If it's tied to the election and it becomes a felony, then there'll be slightly bigger consequences. There is a slight, you know, chance that he could go to jail. But on the whole, I mean, if you're looking at a defendant profile like Trump, someone who's never been convicted before, first-time offender, you know, typically first-time offenders in New York state court aren't going to be hit with jail time. He will probably be fined. But I think it will still be a very seminal moment for this country.
The former US President Donald Trump has issued a statement saying that the FBI has carried out a raid on his Florida home at Mar-a-Lago. He was not.
So, Hugo, as you mentioned, this case is one of four upcoming criminal trials that Trump is facing. What are the others?
Yeah, so he's facing the classified documents case that's being prosecuted in Florida. That's to do with Trump's retention of national defense information and obstruction of justice at his Mar-a-Lago club post-presidency.
All of us here today do not want to see our election victory stolen by emboldened radical left Democrats, which is what they're doing, and stolen by the fake news media. That's what they've done and what they're doing.
He also has the federal January 6th case, as we're referring it to. That's, again, another federal case that's being prosecuted in Washington, D.C. And that's to do with Trump's efforts to overturn the results of the 2020 election and to stop the peaceful transfer of power.
So, look, all I want to do is this. I just want to find 11,780 votes, which is one more than we have.
And then there is the case in Georgia, which is being brought by the Fulton County District Attorney. That's a local case, but with, again, potentially major implications. Trump is charged with violating Georgia State Racketeering Act as part of his efforts to overturn the results of the 2020 election, specifically in the state of Georgia. And that is likely to not go to trial before the election for various reasons. But it's, again, a very perilous case. And in Georgia in particular, he faces a problem because if he is convicted, there's no pardon, you know, for instance, if he was reelected president, that he could use to pardon himself, unlike, you know, potentially the federal cases, although legal experts disagree on whether the president even has the power to self-pardon. But at least in theory, that exists for the federal cases, but it doesn't exist for the Georgia case.
And he's denying all the charges in those cases?
Oh, yeah, he's denying everything.
And you said that the Georgia case is very unlikely to start before the election in November. What about the other two?
The most likely case to go to trial before the election from a federal standpoint is going to be the classified documents case. Trump has proposed a August trial date. The judge has not accepted nor declined that date, but I think it's likely that she will end up accepting that. So if we go to trial in August, yes, we could have a verdict before the election.
Coming up, how will the criminal trials against Trump affect his election chances?
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hugo, with all of these cases going on, how is Trump going to be effectively running his campaign for presidency?
He'll be running it just outside the courtroom and on the campaign trail. What is going to happen is, you know, the days that he is in trial, all the media coverage is going to be focused on him. And that is kind of what Trump wants, because he wants to, you know, keep all the attention on himself and box out coverage of, you know, the Biden campaign, for instance. But on the one hand, these headlines are pretty negative towards Trump, but it does have the effect of keeping him in the media coverage and boxing out Biden. And this is going to be the feature for the next 4 to 6 weeks that this trial is running, potentially longer.
So if he's found guilty in this hush money case, would that hurt him politically? I mean, you know, he's obviously been very successful in his civil cases in saying, you know, this is a witch hunt, but this is a criminal trial. It's different.
It's different, but it's also more of the same. It's different in that a criminal conviction, you know, will be reported as such, and people will know that Trump is a, you know, is criminally convicted. You know, polls have generally shown that the one case that Americans care about and think would be disqualifying for Trump is the January 6th case. If he were convicted in the January 6th case in Washington on trying to overturn the election results, that has consistently been the case where people have gone, well, in that case, I might not vote for Trump. And, you know, this is also evident from the polling. People think that this case is the most tenuous, the least serious of all of them, and him being convicted in this would be the least problematic for them as voters.
And do you mean there his voter base?
No. Voters in general. I mean, his base is already accounted for. Like, his base is, you know, he could be convicted of stealing the moon and they would think he's innocent. But yeah, swing voters in essence. And that's really interesting because the campaign has picked up on this and the Trump campaign has decided that their best messaging strategy is actually to muddy all the waters and to conflate this case, this criminal case, with the civil cases, funnily enough, to your point, because it all sounds the same. I mean, if you think about it from the perspective of an American voter who's been sitting through these various legal cases with Trump, it's very easy for all of the particulars and all of the facts to start melding together and it just becomes one big blob and voters go, oh yeah, there was a bunch of stuff in New York. It was very messy. I really don't understand it. So I think that's what the Trump campaign is trying to capitalize on.
Hugo, what the Manhattan DA's office is doing is unprecedented though, isn't it? You know, it's putting a former president on criminal trial. Do you think the judicial system is up to that prospect?
The theme that we have come back to over and over again in talking about these cases is, you know, the justice system only works if no man is above the law. And just because you're a former president doesn't mean you shouldn't be charged for things that conceivably someone else might be charged for. And the problem he has faced is actually, in each of his criminal cases, whether it's, you know, hoarding classified documents or falsifying business records, other people have been prosecuted. And just because he's a former president and he has this title and he has this label, you know, at least according to the various prosecutors, you know, should not exempt him from having to face criminal charges like any other American. And I think that has been the undercurrent of all of these prosecutions is Trump, you know, for whatever his former office might have been, you know, presidents are not kings and you do not get a free pass from criminal charges just because you happened to be elected in office for 4 years.
Hugo, thank you very much.
Thank you.
That was Hugo Lowell. He'll, of course, be reporting from Trump's trial from Monday onwards at theguardian.com. If you want more US politics, we've got a podcast for that. It's called Politics Weekly America. Jonathan Friedland is going to be speaking to Aaron David Miller, who's a former Middle East negotiator. They're talking about the US's relationship with Israel and how that's shifting. That's it from us. This episode was produced by Natalie Katena and Nima Job and hosted by me, Hannah Moore. Sound design was by Rudy Zagadlo and the executive producer was Sammy Kent. We'll be back tomorrow.
This is The Guardian.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Transitioning to a decarbonised economy sounds like just one change. In fact, this shift requires several transitions across sectors, geographies, and timelines. In Talking Transitions, a new podcast brought to you by the EY organisation and Foresight Climate and Energy, we look at how the transition is affecting three key areas: energy, financial services, and government. The Talking Transitions podcast is out now. Download today from wherever you get your podcasts or visit talkingtransitions.com to find out more.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.